Blog Talk Radio.
Right, Habargani Hotel, Assalamu alaikum, Shalom alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. Kendall, you on here with me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, man. Peace. We got us a new format, and I hope that this thing is actually working correctly because we are on a different time zone, and I just discovered this, so I hope we are being recorded, but I'm looking at the dashboard. It appears to be that we are. But then saying, but if we're cut off, then I think we're going to have to reschedule this. Let's see, I'm looking at the recordings right now. Okay, well, we're going to get into our show anyway. Because, you know, this is something new right here, man. Because we changed a different format. We can put news on this new system and everything, music on the new system.
So hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And our show today will be on, is the American school system in trouble? You know, because of the consequences of COVID-19. And we definitely want to start looking into this because a lot of people going around saying they thinking that America is going to come back strong after this COVID-19 outbreak, but
right.
But all signs is just really just showing us that is not going to happen. It's just too much damage has been done to the economy, and I doubt very seriously that this will ever happen. What are your thoughts on
right.
that, Ken?
Well, I'm kind of in agreement with you with that. Well, I ain't gonna say kind of. I am in agreement with you because I look at the bigger play of everything. I used to play the optimistic person, but I guess the older I've gotten, I kind of look at the broader aspect of everything. But going back to what you were saying, I mean, you hear people talk, and I listen to a bunch of different podcasters and YouTubers and I try to get stuff from all angles, and the confusing part to me is you hear people say, oh, well, you know, America's going to go back to the way it used to be and this. And then the reality is it's never going to be back the way it used to be. I mean, just like I was telling my wife this morning, I said back in the 70s, you know, America was one way. Now, look, we're at 2020, and it's nowhere near like it was in the 70s. So how do you think after something this big hitting – is going to go back to what it used to be, economy-wise? No, it's impossible, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely impossible. And I'm looking at all of the closings that took place, man. We talking about the closing down of a global economy. And not only just and since we are in the United States, we got to speak on our own issues because everybody else is going to handle their own issues, but we got to look at our situation. Man, we talking
right.
restaurants closing. We talking about about the sporting industry. You're talking about every phase of industry that there is in the United States have been affected by this pandemic. And so that's why we're going to talk about the school system. Will it be the same? I doubt it very seriously. And I just recently had... Oh, yeah. I just recently talked to someone concerning that, and this guy, he's just so optimistic. But he's not looking at the big picture. That you're talking about clusters of students. Some schools hold 2,000, some hold up to 3,000 of students. Right. And this pandemic, it has not subsided yet.
Nope.
And if you was to bring all those students into a community, because that's what it is, it's a community. You bring all those students back into the school system along with the teachers, then that's just like a big old huge petri dish, you know?
Yes.
That you're putting them
in.
Yes,
it is.
And by working at a school before, man, people can be nasty, man. Kids are nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the dangers, man, that we're looking at. But in a way, just like all things, man, when something comes about like it did, it definitely have revealed some hidden things that's been going on within the school in terms of financing, in terms of showing you just how they're ill preparing our children. Because who was to know that something like this would take place to where now the children have to rely on technology and the internet in order to get classwork done, but yet there's not enough computers for the students to be able to, you know what I'm saying, function on a wide scale.
Right.
Your thoughts, bro?
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I look at it like this too. The school system, and I'll probably catch a bunch of hits for this. I believe the school system failed us long before this even happened, and it's just my honest opinion. Because when you look at the track record of the traditional school system, sorry about that, I'm walking downstairs. But when you look at the traditional school system, even when I was coming up through school, you had home making school, you had auto mechanics, you had shop. Now, as time went on, by the time I got ready to graduate, they started snatching all those type of traits and stuff out of school, you know, and you got to kind of look back and ask why. And then they started pushing, hey, go to college, which didn't ever create debt, which is, you kind of see the repercussions of that right now. We're looking at it, you know. As far as the COVID-19, in my opinion, I see stuff. I'm an artist by trade, if people don't know, but I see stuff in images and visions and in kind of images. And COVID-19 to me is kind of like looking in a mirror. It's making Americans, it's making individuals kind of look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, where are we at? You know, and this is the reality of the situation. Like with the school district, like you're saying, I'm not going to say America wasn't prepared for this in one sense, but I don't think they were ready for it. It's like, I believe this transition was coming sooner or later. I think it just hit faster than we thought, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point right there, because it definitely did hit faster than what we thought. However, when you have been like in the Nation of Islam or any other groups that was always forecasting these things to happen, you kind of already knew it was going to happen. It was just always a matter of when it was going to happen. And it's kind of like what it says in the Bible concerning God, that you don't know what time, hour, or day things could happen, you know. And since these things have always been preached, especially if you're around in those type of circles, you know it's going to happen. So you're already mind-wise prepared for it. And as black people and Hispanic people, and those who have ever had to struggle, we really don't seem bothered, to be honest with you. It's like another day in the neighborhood, you know. And
right.
I believe many of them now are beginning to feel the discomfort now. Because you're talking about
Go ahead.
Month in. You talk about a whole month in all this now, and some people I talked to the other day, they were saying about how tired they are of being in the home. So when you drive for Uber and Lyft, business is good right now. The people are calling in rides and they're trying to get in amongst their friends and everybody. So, you know, thinking this is another sense of some form of normalcy coming back, but it's not. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, it's really not. I mean, like I said, people have to learn to slow down. That's what I said. This is a reflection moment. Regardless of how people want to see it for what it is. I know people say, oh, I'm trapped in my house and I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, scratch all that. This is a reflection moment. It's a time to really look at where you at, what you know, kind of look at what's coming in front of you and try to prepare yourself for it. I mean, this is not going to go back to normalcy. This is not going to be, okay, well, we hit a switch and everybody go back to work like nothing happened. I mean, yeah, what they call it in a hopeful, wishful world, yeah, we can go back to that. But the reality, and I probably sound like James Strahan, situation is that this is what's in front of us. We have to deal with America and the direction that it's going. I mean, like I think I stated last show, you know, this is really a way of automation to be ushered in. Like it was never about if it was going to happen. It was more of about the time. And COVID-19 just kind of pushed a lot of that stuff up way before we were prepared for it. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but this is really the reality of the situation. Something happened that kind of threw America for a loop. And like you said, you know, most people that's a bottom caste, which are Black Americans in this country, it's kind of like, okay, it's not a big deal. We've been here. You know, we've seen this, not on the COVID-19 mm-hmm. level, but we've seen this side of it. It's like, okay, we know what's going to happen. We kind of looking at it like, hey, you know, this is another day in the park. But on one end, it's not. You know, it is, because this is the same type of struggle we used to. Hey, your lights may be turned off. You can't go make the money you need to because of certain situations. So we used to that part of it. But the flip side of it is that if we don't get educated too and take this time as a reflection time to get, I guess, ourselves to a certain point, we're going to end up still at the bottom cast, if not lower, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh yeah, it makes plenty of sense. I remember talking with listening to Dr. Ava Muhammad's program, Elevated Places, and she made mention. She said the Minister Farrakhan was saying that this was just like a dry run,
mm-hmm.
a dry run. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, in other words, man, things is going to get a lot worse than better.
Yeah.
And you having just as what you just said, man, you got to reflect on the time. You got to start looking at what can I do now to prepare for the next episode, because there will be another episode now because you can see the conditions right now coming up. Because What I'm seeing is that the people are going out buying out the food supply. Every
right.
time you look up you see, by being black, for the most part, Blacks and Hispanics and those who don't really have huge economic stakes in this country, we just have to go ahead and purchase whatever we can when we can. But you have a lot of these people running out here who have credit cards, and they swiping the credit card for the food.
Yeah.
So they buying thousands of dollars worth of supply. But what's it going to do for the rest of the people? You see, that goes to show you that's America in her ugly capitalistic view on things, because the
right.
view is sell as much as you can.
Yep.
Forget the rest.
Yeah. It was like the bluebell saying, eat all you can, then we sell the rest.
yeah, buy all you can, then we sell the rest.
Yeah, that's a Texas thing.
I know, that's right. That's a Texas thing. Let me make sure I say this. For those who are listening, the guest call-in number is 914-205-5519. And if you hit the number 1 button, then that means that you are in the host queue and I can see you up on the switchboard. But you got to hit that number 1 in order to get into the queue if you want to be put on the show live. All right, Kendra, let's continue on. Now,
go ahead. You got it.
Yes, sir. This is the thing here. You know, for years, as I put in the subtitle for the show, it says, for years, the American school system and its curriculum has been practicing a quiet inequality of education to its citizens. The United States has black, brown, red, yellow, and white citizens somebody's trying to come on the other line while I'm in the show. white citizens represented here, but the majority of the lessons taught are geared towards white historians and accomplishments and their success, which is generating a problem for an advancing nation of people that desires to be acknowledged for their own success, for their own children's acknowledgement of their own past histories and accomplishments. And this is what COVID-19 is doing, man. It's exposing a lot to the parents.
Right.
It's exposing a lot to the teachers and the administrators. It's proposing a lot to the world. Because I'm hearing people across seas saying that the United States, to them, by them being outside looking in, looks like a third world country to them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Can you imagine that?
That was amazing. We in it.
Yeah.
We in it.
That was deep to hear that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kim.
No, you got it. No, I'll say it's kind of go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just trying to just say that it looks like Sister Levette trying to call in. That's why it's kind of pausing me. It's kind of throwing me off a little bit. But go ahead and make your comment while I try to get her in.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like my dad used to always say, America ain't free. You know, you think, you know, these things that we push for here in this country is free, but you realize that it ain't what you think it is, you know. You pay for all this stuff that you have and all the stuff that's around here. And kind of going back to what you were saying about the education system, and, you know, I'm going to be semi-transparent here with no personal experience because that's how, you know, I can relate things. But, you know, I hate to say I'm a victim of the school system and the way things were taught, but, you know, I kind of am. You know, I tell my wife and I was having a discussion this morning. It's funny you said that, too, that, you know, I look at the school system and how things were taught to me. And I said, every image that I saw was Caucasian, you know, so that mentally kind of put something in my head and made me look at one race of people one way and made me look at myself another way. And this is how the American school system is taught. You know, they're the victors and they this and they that, and they did all these accomplishments. Then when you get older, you realize, hey, it ain't what they taught me in school. Somebody lied. You know,
right.
This is not what I thought it was, you know. And it kind of goes back to this thing I look at and say that I wish I saw more images of people that represented me and looked like me that would have probably pushed and made me gear towards better things. Not to say I didn't make poor decisions on my own, I did, but I also believe that if I saw more positive things coming up that represented who I was in the positive light, not like, you know, the movies like New Jack City and boys in the hood, but just in a positive atmosphere, that probably would have changed the course of my life, not even my life, but just the course of, you know, any black individual in America, you know.
Right. And let me see. Sister Lovett, are you on? Are you on? Sister Lovett? Yeah, it looks like I'm having a hard time getting Sister on. I'm going to have to probably conference her into it. But yeah, you're absolutely right, brother. You're absolutely right. Tell me something about New Hampshire. What's going on with their school system? And just go ahead and handle up on that for me a little bit.
Okay. You still there. Yeah, well, New Hampshire, like I said, my kids are homeschooled, so they really are not in the quote-unquote New Hampshire school system. But as far as New Hampshire school system, I don't know too much about it, but it's pretty much set up like the regular school system in Texas. You know, you have a system like HISD, you have your committee and your boards, and, you know, everybody's trying to push money into these school systems. But when you look at the education of the kids coming out, it makes you question what's being taught. Kind of going back to what we were just saying, you know, it makes you really question what's being taught. And like I said, the thing about COVID-19 and the situation that's happening now, it's exposing all that. It's bringing all that to a head to say, hey, you know, the school system is not setting up our generation. Well, not even our generation. I'm sorry. The following generation to be able to go out here and deal with this world that's in front of them. That's why I say this is a reflection moment to where we as parents need to take the time to instill certain things in our kids while we can before you have to put them back in the system. Like, I don't have that. I have the option not to do that, and everybody else does too. But I know a lot of people don't have that option. They have to put their kids in the school system. But I say use this time to teach your kids about certain things when they come to certain education, because the school is not going to do it. The only thing they're going to prep your kids for is to take a test and pass, and that's it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I tell you, we came up in the school system. So to look at the way it's falling and crumbling, you know, I really don't think people really see the weight of what's actually going on here. You're talking about a cash cow for the state, because that's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Cash cow. And that's how they run it. They don't want people to come into the school systems from the outside in order to come bring a more high education or more broader education into the schools. They sit back and they guard. It's just like guards at the gate, and that's what the principals have been reduced down to. They have to watch what comes in and what goes out and report back to the big house. If something, you know, tries to come in, the curriculum is just not comprehensive enough. And the people are getting tired, man. We're tired of that. What do we look like sending our children to the school all the time and then when you send them there, they're not getting no information about themselves. And the little bit of information that they're getting about themselves is always coming from a very passive premise. You want to constantly tell me about Martin Luther King, but you don't tell me about the Martin Luther King that evolved into going to ask for money for a check that is owed to the poor people. You don't want to talk about that king. You want to tell me that I have a dream that one day, you want to give me that I have a dream king. We know
like
about
that king.
I have a dream king.
Yeah, we know.
We want to know about the king who start walking like a king and start thinking like a king and start seeing like a king. That's the king we need. And then you want to come tell us about Malcolm X.
Yeah.
You really don't know Malcolm X. Because
they don't.
Malcolm's story did not begin with him going over there to Mecca and drinking water and eating and sit down and talking and fellowshipping, doing Hajj. Malcolm's story didn't start there. When he started talking and walking with white people, Malcolm always had a more broader account of his life than what you want to reduce him to in the school. But you know why they did that? They threw that in there so that they can always take pipe swipes at the Nation of Islam and Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah.
But yet, here you go, you have a living teacher named Louis Farrakhan, and you won't put nothing in these books or make reference to the Million Man March. Now, how you leave that out? If you didn't have nefarious reasons. Exactly.
Yeah,
the curriculum is just not comprehensive enough. Go ahead, bro.
No, it's not. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, even, like I said, from my personal experience, even I was in high school, I still remember I got sent to the principal's office because I went to a predominantly Caucasian school, but we was doing history class, and it was Black History Month, which, I got my issues with that, too. But anyway, it was Black History Month, and, you know, they had a section in the history book for Black history, and it always confused me that, why is it like three or four pages, and one of them is Martin Luther King? You might have another page that says the Black Panther Party. Don't tell you much about them. And then you might have a little bit snippet about, you know, Malcolm X, and then that's it. And then the rest of it is the Martin Luther King, I have a dream speech, and the Civil Rights Movement. But I'm like, they don't go into the details about Bloody Sunday. They don't go into the details, like you said, about King's last speech. I think it was his last speech. I might be wrong on that. But the speech where he was talking about reparations, and he was like, hey, you know, y'all did a lot with
right.
this money. Y'all took these monies. Y'all built these institutions with government money. Y'all locked us out. And then you tell us that we got to go out there and go pull ourselves up by our bootstraps when you locked us out. That makes no sense. So when we come to get our money. But people don't want to talk
That's
about
right.
that. And I think that was strategically done. Yeah, I think they
right.
strategically did that. Because you have... I mean, just think about it. If you backtrack and you go back from when you were coming up and I was coming up, and if we heard that speech at a young age, how would that have influenced the generation of kids up under us? It would have changed
right.
the path of a lot of stuff going on right now, because they would
right.
came up with,
right.
hey, you know, I don't have to settle for what they're teaching me or what they're telling me. This is BS what they're showing me, you know. But back to what I was saying with the school, I got in trouble and got called militant because I questioned of, why is it not more about Black people in this book? I got a whole book about colonizers and what they did in this country, but you give me three pages about somebody that looks like me and you don't tell me enough about them, but I don't find that out until my 30s and 40s? That makes no sense. It's like you didn't want me to find out at a young age. You didn't want me to have that pride in who I am and not settling. But for whatever reason,
right.
like you said, it's something cynical about that to me.
Wow, man, I didn't know you got called to the principal's office.
Yeah. Got called to the principal's office. I got called militant because I'm asking about, you know, my culture. I'm like, hey, and it was a white teacher, but, you know, she didn't know much. But it was like, why am I being called militant? Because I'm curious about who I am. But what that did to me on a personal level, that made me a very docile person growing up in this country. It kind of made me, I hate to say it like this, it kind of made me bow down to a certain authority, and that's not the way it's supposed to be, but that's why my hat goes off to the Nation of Islam and what they do for Black men. I think they do a hell of a job, you know, with Black men, you know. But you know, that's just, you know, going another route. But, you know, that's crazy. That's just kind of putting out that this is the type of things that, you know, that we go through in this country. You know, when we ask questions about who we are and why we're not being taught this, you know, we get put out, for better words, for it.
You know what's interesting to me? I definitely want to hear what was this? How did this principal approach that? Because that sounds just too, look, y'all can call this unpolitically correct or whatever, but that sounds too punctified to me.
Right.
It does. You're going to come telling a young man trying trying to come into the identity of his own. You being too militant. Because you asked a question.
Yeah, I asked a question. And the killing part, I've never forgot that to this day. I'm in my early 40s, I never forgot that. You know, that played a big impact on me mentally. And, you know, and it I mean, not saying it holds me down now, but it always reminds me, every time I think about it, it reminds me of how people view me, or view my people in this country. And I have to tell my kids that, you know, people don't see you like I see you. You know, I see you as being something great. I see you as being an engineer or whatever, but everybody don't see you like that. They see you as less than for whatever reason. They do, you know,
right.
And that's a constant reminder of that. But to go back how you're saying how did the principal them handle it, they didn't handle it right. I mean, you know, it pretty much I was labeled as a troublemaker and being a disrupted student to the classroom. That's pretty much how they labeled the situation. Nobody wanted to hear my side of it. Nobody wanted to understand. It was like, oh, you're being disruptive. You're disrupting the class. I'm like, how am I disrupting the class when I ask the question? You just didn't like the question
right.
that I asked. And you didn't have an answer for me. And instead of you being man or woman enough to say, hey, I don't have the answer, but I'll go find a way to find it for you because, yeah, you are a kid of color in the school that's predominantly white. We need to help you out and help you figure these things out. We don't know, but we'll bring it in here. But they didn't say that. They're like, oh, send you to the office. We're done with you. Kind of like now, send you to jail. Go to prison. We're done with you.
Go send you to the office. How long did you have to stay in there for the whole class period?
I think I ended up getting, they called it what, FRC, after school suspension behind it, if I remember right. Yeah, I did. I got
what?
After school suspension behind that. Yeah, it was pretty jacked up, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. But that just shows you how the school system itself was even jacked. That's why I said the school system deal didn't just start happening. This has been happening a long time. And I don't know if it's strategic. I don't know if it was designed that way. Well, it might have been designed that way. But I think it was designed to screw certain people, and it was designed to benefit certain people. And it's what they call it. It's a evil truth. I guess that's how you put it.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is, man. Because as we stated earlier, it's the cash cow for the states and for government. It is definitely a breeding ground for workers.
Yeah,
because I don't understand how come you don't teach a more comprehensive form of economics in the school. Why is it that you don't teach about money in the school the way you should and all of how the uses and what you can do to create jobs and stuff for yourself? None of that is being taught, and it goes to show you that in the United States they still have this issue of teaching old world education because, you know, the base for what they, I mean, they're trying now because technology is forcing them to try to change. But for the most part, this school system is still running off of the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s type of way of approaching education. This is 2020. And let's see, if I'm not mistaken, the first school that was a system that was created or a form of it, I think started either, I don't know why I'm thinking about the 50s, but I'm thinking, and then again, it may be around about in between the 30s and probably the 50s, somewhere in there. Like that, and before they start having consolidated this, and I tell you, boy, it was just like the IRS. They discover they can get some tax, and then next thing you notice is because it's supposed to be just a one time thing because of the war, but then somebody realized that, hey, man, this could be an ongoing thing here.
Right.
Now you got the IRS. And that's how things operate, man. But let's kind of look into some of what this pandemic actually revealed about the school district. Because if you look at the global governments around the world, including the state and local government, you know, they have been put in the spotlight. I mean, it is exposing all of that inequality that goes on. It also is showing the local and state greed due to the lack of funding. Now, why would you be lacking in funding when your revenues is based upon all these different subdivisions throughout the world, throughout the nation? You talking about getting tax money from out of, and I'm just speaking just one little subdivision out of 50,000 homes, plus not including all the other homes that you're servicing right there in your little area.
Right.
And all the schools keep talking about they have, you know, they don't have enough funding. But these were your tax dollars. And we've been taxed out the wazoo every day.
Yeah, that's Uncle Sam. He won the
school. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
There you go. There you go.
I get dead.
And that's true. And that's true. Because didn't Jesus give good guidance on that? He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar.
Yeah.
Render unto him.
So, yeah, I already
knew. What belongs to Caesar belongs to Caesar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Jesus understood. Jesus, Caesar gonna want his.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm a Christian friend, man.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
But that's true. Because remember, they sit there and somebody gave him a coin, and he looked at it, flipped the coin. That's what he said. Render unto Caesar, because Jesus knew that if he started talking about taxation, he didn't know who was in the audience.
Yeah.
You know,
have a bigger headache on his hands than he wanted to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. And remember, it was a tax man in one of those little episodes of his.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of his right-hand men was a tax man.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, back on what you said about the school system and, you know, like the tax dollars And I hear the same argument up here in New Hampshire. You know, you have the people that's for the schools, and it's like, hey, you know, we need the schools, we need the education. But, you know, I think what's happening with America, and this is just my personal opinion, I believe that we have a tendency to cling to the old here in this country. You know, we want stuff to go back to a certain way. We want the school system to be like it was back in the 80s and the 90s, and when you had the older teachers that were, you know, that would beat your butt if you got out of hand, and you don't have that anymore. And then when schools started kind of taking, I guess, the teaching away from the actual teachers and started giving it to a board or whoever and let them decide on the curriculum that's being taught.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that threw a big wrench in everything, because I remember when I had teachers, they used to deviate from certain things, you know, when it came to the textbook, because they was like, hey, if you're not getting it this way, let me teach you this way so your brain can pick it up and you can understand it, you know, because everybody don't learn the same. And I think the school system hasn't even figured that out yet either. You know, everybody doesn't learn the same. That's another big problem. You know, they have this cutout cardboard copy and say, hey, this is the curriculum and everybody better get it. And if you don't get it, Johnny, too bad. I don't care. You're just going to fall between the cracks, and everybody else who do, you may make it, you may not. You know, here it is. As long as we keep getting our numbers and our money, that's all we care about. You know, and that's not right. They mean it's not about the kids. They mean it's not for the betterment of the system. So it kind of goes back to what's the big play that's being played here at hand that we're not being seen? What's happening behind those closed doors, and why are they making all these decisions based on money, you know?
Yep. And that's exactly it. That's why I say the ugly face of capitalism is definitely – coming out again. And I spoke with a guy who says that he's a socialist, right? So I said to him that most American people who would sit up and criticize socialism is really ignorant of the whole conversation, because Right. What is Social Security? It's telling you right there, that's a form of socialism.
Yeah.
What is the tax? You know what I'm saying? The tax, I say recuperating taxes. You taking it from everybody else, right?
That's yeah,
social.
Money gotta come from money.
Yeah, that's social. You have what, Medicare? Medicaid?
Yep.
Some of you work.
Medicare, Medicaid.
You getting that taken out your check. That's social. That's socialism. So I don't know what they're talking about there, that all this country, socialism would destroy this country. Heck, who's destroying the country are those who sits on top of the country and watching you being played just like a checker on the checkerboard.
Yeah, and you actually hit the nail on the head with that too. That's the big picture, you know. And I know I'm, some people think I'm a conspiracy theorist. It's the one that I do talk to, but you know, it's you, like you said, you have those people that's at the top that's playing this game. You know, my dad always believed that. You know, it's people above us that's playing the game, and it ain't the ones that we see. It's not the people that you see on the news. It's not even Trump. I think it's people over him, to be honest. But that's just me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That plays
yeah.
and weaves certain little things in this country, and they maneuver how things go. And we just too far at the bottom to where we don't see it. We see, oh, you know, America's beautiful, the great, and, you know, we love this country. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, hey, I'm happy to be here. But, you know, America does have her dark secrets, too. You know.
No, yeah.
She has her share of them, you know.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's the reason why we're looking at this. This is why this door has opened. You know, like I said, this was never, and I know a lot of people look at the whole COVID situation like, oh, this was just, you know, it happened out the blue. And I tell my wife, I say, you know, it's the one thing, and I think I said this last show, there's one thing that every religion and even the doomsday preppers and the Satanists or whatever have in common. They all believe that you had a day like this that was going to come, that was going to turn this country upside down. And the one thing we all agreed on is that this was going to happen and we all need to be prepared for it. Now, what ended up happening is that nobody was prepared for it. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that's trying to pull the strings don't even know what the hell they're doing. So.
No, yeah. Because, man, the God is confusing them. You know, there's I'm going to read a little passage from out of The Fall of America by Elijah Muhammad. And it's called, it's chapter 21 in that book. And it's called The Destruction of America's Education. Just on this first paragraph right here, it says, the plague of Allah God against the educational system of America is something that the philosophers and scientists should look into. As the destruction of America's educational system is the destruction of their wisdom to educate the people. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Everything you just said bears witness to it.
You know?
Yeah. And I'm reading the second paragraph.
They don't want the people to know.
Exactly. And what we're looking at is that there's another power that's interfering with this, because America is powerful enough to basically rebound itself back if it was under their control. They can get the people back up financially by offering them more fake fiat currency.
That's what it is. Paper.
But it's something a little bit more deeper at work here. because following that paragraph, he says, on the second paragraph, he says, there are many who look on the destruction without taking a second thought of the destruction of America's education. Education is a guide for the people to keep and maintain a civilized life. It is the education that civilized us. Now to see the citizens of America rebelling against the American educational system is something that the wise of the wise should take thought of. Boom. And there we go.
Right.
You need, and it looks like that the people themselves are starting to take on another look this because now they're at home with their children now.
Yeah.
And now they're seeing that my child is off base. I'm trying to teach my child this thing here, or I thought my child was learning math. I thought my child was learning science. I thought they was learning geometry. But now they're at home with me, and I got to try to teach this to them, and it's as though they don't know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you paying taxes on this stuff for these. And I'd like to say it's not a knock to any teachers out there. So don't, you know,
yeah.
I don't want nobody to take this as y'all bashing teachers. It's not about the teachers. It's about the system that governs these teachers. You know, like I said, the teachers have to go off of what curriculum they're told to talk. So that's
right.
That's pretty much what that is. But it like you said, it's crazy. It makes no sense. You know, like I said, the kids are home, the parents are home. The parents are like, hey, you know, I thought I was preparing my kid for a system out here, and to come to find out they're at home and they don't know half the stuff they need to know. You know, even when
mm-hmm.
we first started homeschooling our children, you know, which was way before any of this happened, we realized that. You know, we pulled our sons out of regular school, and, you know, my wife started homeschooling, and she was realizing that the level of math that the school claimed that they was on, they wasn't nowhere near that. And
right.
it was puzzling. It was like, okay, wait a minute. My kids, they're supposed to be here based on this test that you're giving them, but in actuality, they're not. So that's what I think a lot of parents are seeing now, and I think that's where the conflict between the schools and what's going on with the schools now. You know, you have the school saying, hey, we need these kids back in school. Let's get the system kicked back up. Let's get it fired up because we need this money. We need these kids in the seats. But now the parents are like, hey, something ain't right because we paying taxes and my kid is dumb as a doornail. So what's happening here? You know, something ain't adding up. So what am I paying for? So that's why I said this is, once again, this is a reflection moment for America, for us to really look at everything. And the education system is a good start. You know, what are our kids learning? What do they need to learn now that's going to be practical for the new world that's coming? Because like you were saying
mm-hmm.
earlier, finances is not taught enough in school. It is really not. It's more than just getting a checking account, going to the bank, pulling out some money and spending it. You know, it's
right.
way more than that. I wish I knew more about finances than I know. I really do. I wish I learned it way back in grade school, but I can't cry over spilled milk now. Also, another thing, politics. Our culture in general is taught to shy away from politics. You know,
are
which
you still on?
That's not good. Oh, hello.
I'm still trying to work to get Sister Lavette in, man.
Okay.
She's calling. But it's not going through the switchboard. But yeah, just keep on doing what you're doing.
okay. Politics is also another big thing because growing up, you know, I wasn't taught about politics in my home. You know, what I saw growing up is my dad going to work as a machinist, making the money, coming home, and you know, and that was it. But as far as learning about politics and the way certain systems work, you know, he didn't know it, so he couldn't teach it to me, and they sure wouldn't tell me in school. And, you know, I think things like that need to be, you know, reiterated back into the school systems if it does go back to normal, which it won't. But, you know, I think those are one of those things that's missing, especially in the black community, because if we did know politics in a different light, we wouldn't be voting on certain decisions that we vote on. And I don't want to push
right.
the button too much with that. But
no,
you know,
but
we wouldn't
true.
Be leaning the route that we lean on because we as black people, we kind of just go with the flow. With religion and everything, we kind of go by what we taught. We don't do our own research. And that's just the way it was designed. You know, I think once we kind of get away from that and really take the time to say, hey, let me look at what they've been teaching me and throwing in my face all the time and really read through it, you'll understand that the way that the politics is set up, it's against you. And if you don't know how to use it to go against them, you're going to keep being where you at, no matter how hard you work and how hard you tie up your bootstraps. You know, all that's is not what people think it is, you know.
Right,
but
right.
I'm going to leave it on that note and let you guys take over.
That's true. Oh, boy. Man, every time we get together, man, it be good conversation, man. I see we only got about 9 minutes up in the show.
We just get along the flat.
You know what? Golly, man. You know, eventually we're going to probably have going to a 2-hour slide once all the the people start realizing that we own every Sunday and everything start populating. So, and then that way we have more callers to call in and stuff like that. You know what? I tell you what. Let's just go ahead and hit on some homeschooling. Homeschooling,
okay.
Which I know
okay.
You're pretty big on that one. Okay, now in preparing your curriculum, how did y'all prepare y'all curriculum for y'all children?
Well, I work most of the time, so I don't see a lot of it, but I'm gonna break it down as small as I can, as short as I can. Well, my wife eventually, when she started off with the homeschooling, she pulled the kids out of school for various reasons. And then once she kind of started, doing schoolwork with them to see where they were at, she realized that certain stuff wouldn't need to be. So she kind of went into what's called traditional homeschooling, to where you get with a program like K-12 or the online school programs, and your kid just kind of log on, and it's kind of like going to school, but it's at home, but everything is online. But what we found out also with that, the kids still kind of struggled with certain things. Plus, they wouldn't learn certain practical things I thought they should learn. So my wife switched over to non-traditional, which is where you kind of teach your kids what you think they really need in life to succeed. Like I said, if you just want to teach your kids about accounting and politics and reading and writing, then you can do that. And as far as, like,
right.
Moving them up in grade levels, that pretty much is on the parents' discretion. It's really left up to the parent on how your kid advances, you know, from grades K through 12.
Yeah.
And most people think, too, that I used to be big on college, but I'm not anymore. But I know a lot of people probably ask the question, well, how can my kid go to college if they're homeschooled? What the colleges won't tell people, and anybody can look this up, is that they have to accept those transcripts from that parent for their kid to be able to go to college. And my kid, my oldest son, went to the Navy, and he did some college with the homeschool transcript. So, you know, it can be done.
It can be done. See, and that's what a lot of people need to understand, man, because why sit back and wait for others to teach your children when you can teach them and give them a more grounded, a more rounded education at home? I think back in the 90s, I'm thinking, Minister Farrakhan had a book called The Torchlight for America. And the one thing, matter of fact, I think, let's see, it was probably back in 1990, I'm trying to see, yeah, around about 92 was probably somewhere around about, or probably a little later than that. You know how people do their statistics and stuff, but it was sometime during the 90s. And one thing I liked about the title, The Torchlight, because the torchlight is the symbol of education in all civilization. And once your torchlight goes out, then your civilization goes out with it. And right now, man, with all this inequality when it comes to the curriculums, it is causing young students to not have a love for education anymore. If they can't see themselves in it, they don't want it. And can
right.
you blame them?
Yeah.
Can you blame them? So you know, if America wants to survive, she's gonna have to change, man. And personally, I really don't think we really got that amount of time because she have been given over 470 years, I believe, and they still want to keep putting on the same dirty, nasty, stinking 270 some odd year old draw on and we're not washed and clean.
Nope.
Can you imagine the stench of that? You gonna have to change, man.
We smelling it. Look at it. It's called COVID-19.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly.
You smelling it. It's
yeah,
making
exactly.
Sick, so look at it.
Yeah, it's making the folks sick, man.
It's falling. So, it's like what they say, you let something sit out too long, it starts falling. It's falling.
Right, right. And I mean, it's bad, man. And it is falling out. So, unfortunately, we are in the midst of this, but we also in the midst of God's change for this world, man. I mean, he clearly stated in the scriptures that he's going to set down every tyrant. He's going to set down all of these things so that he himself can rule over it all. He wants to guide the world again. Yeah, it ain't what we want anymore. It's what he has in store. And I'm going to probably do a show because you know, by us saying he and all that there, you know, that's for the God that's ruling now. But when you look at the God that started the heavens and the earth and begin the first God in the universe. See, it's different facets to God, to this God thing that only those who really deep in the science really understand what I'm saying. Because
I think they're ready for that.
well, shoot, this is why it's called the narrative. They going to have to get ready for it because we're going to get into some heavy stuff in the next few months, especially on this subject, because to know God is to know your own potential and your own great within self. And when you know that the very first God, when he created himself out of triple blackness and darkness of space, man, there was no such thing as gender.
Nope.
So what is he? So we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
He didn't have no gender. He didn't have no organs. He didn't have none of that. So what did he start off as? You know what I'm saying? And then look at the brilliant machinery that he have made out of us. Oh, I know I'm hitting everybody up with something heavy before we close out. But these are the type of conversations that's going to be coming up. Look like we only got about only a minute in 20. These are some of the conversations that's going to be coming up. I hope we kind of enlighten y'all to kind of start looking at this at what's going on with the American school system right now. I mean, this system is not going to come back. This is the way that it was before COVID-19 pandemic started. It's going to have to be a change. The whole system is going to have to be overhauled, y'all. It's going to have to be overhauled. There's no other way. I don't think if the creator is trying to change this whole system of things, then you're going to have to change, period. This is not business as usual. Stop listening to the Trump and them lying because they lie. They don't even see their hands in front of them, and they're trying to keep the president from getting on the microphone as much as possible because he's saying things that they know is not going to come back. $1,200 is not a lot. So, I'm out of here making a little statement. If you have something you want to say, you got about
Yeah. Well, a quick note. Like I said, people just, take a look in the mirror and just look at